Barack Obama and his wife Michelle left Washington earlier today on a helicopter after Donald Trump was sworn in as America's 45th president. As the presidential transition comes to a close, we're looking back at Obama's legacy.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think is the legacy of Barack Obama as president? How do you think he'll be remembered in history books? Call in now and share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Niambi Carter joins us now. She's an assistant professor of political science at Howard University. Niambi, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Veronica, for having me.
Well, let's start with a clip from President Obama's farewell speech in Chicago last week.
If I had told you 8 years ago that America would reverse a great recession, reboot our auto industry, and unleash the longest stretch of job creation in our history, if I had told you that we would open up a new chapter with the Cuban people, shut down Iran's nuclear weapons program without firing a shot, take out the mastermind of 9/11. If I had told you that we would win marriage equality and secure the right to health insurance for another 20 million of our fellow citizens, if I had told you all that, you might have said our sights were set a little too high.
Barack Obama there in his farewell speech as president in Chicago last week. And Niambi, he listed his accomplishments there. What would you say, though, is the most significant aspect of Barack Obama's presidency?
I mean, I think that's a hard one, but I would say the Affordable Care Act, actually. I think that was probably one of the most far-reaching and impactful things he did while in office.
And what about the fact that it may be, looks likely to be, dismantled by Donald Trump and a Republican legislature? Does that diminish the accomplishment that you see there at all?
No, I don't think it diminishes the accomplishment. I think it speaks to the ways in which Republicans were able to frame the issue to confuse people, because the Affordable Care Act is actually popular. Obamacare is very unpopular. And I think what we're seeing now is people who actually relied on the Affordable Care Act may have actually voted against their own interests because they weren't quite sure what the distinction was. And there is none.
Now, looking big picture now, some liberals, including Cornel West, have criticized Barack Obama for what they saw as not going far enough to the left in his policies overall. What do you think of those critics and what they saw as something as an opportunity missed?
I understand the criticism. I think Obama has gotten a lot of flack for seeming too measured, particularly around racial issues, for example, with the deaths last year of Philando Castile and others, that he just didn't say enough so that he could talk about the police shootings in Dallas and say that the murders of police were reprehensible, but was seeming to take a more measured tone when police were killing, in this case, black citizens. And then I think there was also a lot of sensibility that with even the Affordable Care Act, that he didn't do enough to provide actual basic health care to all citizens, which would have been, I think, the more leftist ideal. Instead, people actually have to buy insurance from private companies. So I think there were a number of critiques of him. But I also think we have to understand that he can't do everything on his own. And so he had to do what he could under some really kind of bounded circumstances.
We're talking with Niambi Carter right now, looking at the legacy of Barack Obama as he leaves office, left Washington earlier today. And Niambi, looking at the economy, that seems like a strong point for Barack Obama. Maybe 4 years ago, it wouldn't have been so obvious. Today, though, the economy is looking strong, not perfect, but it's better than it was. And he had the stimulus package as part of that, help for the auto industry, for banks. What do you think? Where do you think he'll stand as far as the economy goes?
I mean, I think history will look kindly on Barack Obama because stock markets are doing well. As you noted, the banking and auto industries are still around. That saved jobs. Those are sound things to do. And also, unemployment came down. I mean, I think it's sort of a mixed bag because he started at a place where we were doing so poorly that any progress looked like great progress. But at the same time, I think given where we were 8 years ago, it was pretty abysmal that no one necessarily saw that we would be doing as well as we are today, especially in light of some of our partners around the world.
Now, if you had to put your finger on an area of policy where you felt that he stumbled, what would you point to?
I mean, I would still say, we have not gotten out of our military relationships abroad. And I think thinking about our involvement in Afghanistan is something that he hasn't seemed to be really able to extricate us from. And then Guantanamo Bay, if you recall, part of what he ran on was saying, I'm going to close Guantanamo Bay, that the existence of Guantanamo Bay seems to be offensive to American ideas about civil rights and civil liberties, and I'm going to close it, but that still has not happened. So I think those are places where he certainly did not go and do the things that he said he was going to do.
And looking at policy in the Middle East, the historian Doris Kearns Goodwin had a conversation with Barack Obama as president, and he confided to her that he felt that maybe his failing that he saw was Syria, that he just was not able to come up with a policy that would be effective. And she said he didn't see it as that he had two choices and he picked the wrong one, but that maybe there was another path, another option that would have been more effective. And Syria, and looking at that as the rise of ISIS as well, being tied into that. Do you think that's something that will loom as a shadow over his presidency?
I mean, I think so. I mean, I think most of us have had our consciousness just shocked and appalled by some of the images coming out of Syria, of Syrian citizens being killed, of children being harmed and maimed. And it felt like we didn't do anything, like we just sort of forgot about it or just ignored it, and that he kind of kicked the can down the road for the next administration. So I certainly feel that. In terms of him being blamed for the rise of ISIS, I'm not sure that there's any one factor that led to the rise of ISIS, and I certainly don't know enough to suggest or to say with any certainty that ISIS became fully formed in these last 8 years. But no doubt the ascendancy of ISIS, which is sort of this loose configuration of groups that are sort of pledging allegiance to an idea in a certain kind of way rather than a nation state, is something that I think scares a lot of Americans and a lot of people around the world because of these different attacks that have happened across Europe and parts of the continent of Africa, and that it just sort of fell off of our radar somehow. And I think this is one of those moments, though, when you see the sort of limits of military action to deal with ideas.
We're talking right now with Niambi Carter from Harvard University, and we're taking a look at Barack Obama's legacy.
And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What do you think the 44th president will be remembered for? What do you think is Barack Obama's legacy? How do you think history books will remember him? And what are you going to remember about Obama's presidency? How has the former president affected your life or your community, your country? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll continue this conversation with Howard University's Niambi Carter in just a bit here on Central Time. We're picking up our discussion about the legacy of Barack Obama with Niambi Carter, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Howard University.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What will you remember about Barack Obama and his presidency? What do you think his legacy will be? How will history look back at him? And did you see Barack Obama affecting your life? For better or worse, call 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll take our first caller now. We've got Jason joining us in Park Falls. Jason, hi.
Hello.
What do you want to share?
Well, I would say Obama's legacy would be Donald Trump, that his policies led the American people to stand up. And today we see that, Donald Trump is going to reverse, I believe, a lot of what Obama did. And also, yeah, the economy got stabilized, but it was by pumping $12 trillion of debt into it, making it over the long run very unstable.
Jason, thank you for the call. And Niambi, I want to ask you about that. Critics say that Barack Obama left his party in worse condition than he found it. Republicans control both chambers of Congress and the White House. And what do you make of that aspect of what he left behind, what Jason was getting at there?
Well, I mean, I think that's a bit unfair. I mean, the truth is, the party didn't do itself any service, right? I mean, the DNC, Obama's the sort of figurehead as the head of the party, but the DNC is an independent organization. And I think one of the things that we saw this summer is that the DNC perhaps may be a bit more conservative than its members. And there may be some real thought behind how to make the DNC speak to its membership. The other thing is who campaigned where, because Donald Trump didn't win the popular vote. Now, it's not the first time we've had a president who didn't win the popular vote, but I think to suggest that his win was more than something strategic is maybe a bit of an overstatement. He did not win the popular vote, and I don't think that's a small thing. So I don't think it's fair to say Obama left his party in worse condition. I mean, I think we still have midterms coming up, so we'll see how good people feel about Donald Trump, as he's had one of the most unpopular transitions in recent memory, and what that looks like for Republicans in the House and in the Senate.
Jason, thank you for that call. And we're going to go next to Jeanette joining us in Ladysmith. Jeanette, hi.
Hi. Sort of a little bit of a rollback to the mention of Syria.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're doing Mr. Obama, President Obama, a disservice, and we do it to other people in government as well, through lack of Americans, I think, have a disturbing lack of knowledge of history and geography and what goes on in other parts of the world. This is not the first time horrific things have happened in Syria. Syria was involved in the Armenian genocide at the beginning of the 20th century. This is, in a sense, as I was watching the stuff on Aleppo, this is almost like a repeat of that. So how can we be judging Barack Obama harshly when we've seen this before? And I don't believe the United States did anything at that time. And I would like to hear other people's opinion on this, and I'll take them off the air.
Jeanette, thank you for that call. And Niambi, what would you say to that? She's saying that this is a situation that has seen trouble before and that Barack Obama should not bear sole responsibility for what happened.
I mean, I agree with Jeanette. I mean, we don't even have to go as far back to Syria. We can think about what didn't happen with Rwanda and Burundi. Right. In the 90s under Clinton's watch. I mean, that was a horrible genocide. And we did little. We did little in Sudan and we saw what happened there. And there are other places around the world where those things have happened. So I agree that it's unfair to lay all at Barack Obama's feet. But I do think I think the sensibility that America should be the sort of world's cop and intervene in these kinds of events is of common sensibility. But I don't know if it would have been a popular move, and I'm not saying it was just a strategic concern that he didn't get involved. I don't think it was just that, but I can't imagine that it didn't at least cross their mind what would have been at stake had we gotten tied up militarily somehow in Syria.
Jeanette, thanks a lot for the call. And Yambe, I want to ask you, we should touch on Barack Obama as the first African-American president of the United States and the meaning of that. How would you frame that meaning? And also, you know, 2 terms, 8 years as president and scandal-free 8 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, this speaks to sort of that pressure lots of excluded groups feel when they become the first at something, which is to sort of be above board in every way. And I'm not suggesting that Barack Obama or any person, you know, go out finding scandals. But it was very clear that he had to be on guard because he was the first. And I think for a lot of people, they don't recognize how important it is to see people in these positions as models of what you can be and prototypes of what you can be. The fact that we have never, out of 45 presidents, had someone other than a white man be a president of the United States, I think says a lot about what he and his family, Michelle, Sasha, Maria, in the White House meant for so many of us who live in this country and yet don't feel a part of it in the same kinds of ways, because we can't point to pictures in history books of presidents and first ladies that look like us or first families that look like us in some way, shape, or form. And I think beyond just what it meant for him to be the first, it did do something to people's esteem, and it does give people a way to think about what is possible for them and for people who look like them or something like them.
Go back to our callers now. We've got Mark joining us next in Richland Center. Mark, hi.
Hello. You know, Dwight Eisenhower warned against the military-industrial complex, and not a single president except for Kennedy has heeded that warning. So now we've got another guy who simply just... He bombed 7 different countries and dropped in just his last year alone 26,000-something bombs on people, and mostly people of color, by the way. So I don't really think this guy's a peace president, and I don't think his legacy will be anything but just more warmongering that Eisenhower warned us against.
Mark, thanks for the call. And Niambi, what's your response to that?
I mean, I think there are a lot of critiques that that Americans had of Obama's military policy and drone strikes and other things about the legality and also the dangers, even potentially killing American citizens abroad using those technologies. But I think, you know, I don't think he will be dinged on that in terms of his legacy, in that to a certain extent, that kind of strident nature is a very American thing. I'm not saying it's a good or bad thing. It just is. That kind of cowboy mentality is something that is very much a president image. And he was often hit against by his political opponents for being too weak. So it'll be interesting. I mean, I don't necessarily think that he will be viewed as the warmonger, as Mark said, even though he was clearly not afraid to use force. But he was often talked about as being too weak. And I just think this is one of those things where ideology comes into play in terms of how we think about Obama and his military legacy.
Mark, thanks for the call. And yesterday was Obama's last full day in office. And on that day, he announced over 300 commutations for nonviolent drug offenders. Niambi, how does that play into Barack Obama's potential legacy?
I mean, I think it's huge. I mean, the truth is we have gotten different kinds of criminal justice reform under Obama. So, for example, bringing down the disparities between crack cocaine and powder cocaine. The problem with that, it wasn't retroactive. So people who had been sentenced under more draconian laws about powder and crack cocaine, or people who were sentenced under mandatory minimums, couldn't seek any relief. So I think it was at least an acknowledgement that nonviolent drug offenders are really not the people that we want to have in jail and in prison, for life, for essentially being either low-level drug dealers or even drug users, that these are not the ways that we want to go about dealing with this. And I think the fact that he issued more commutations than anybody else is not a small thing, because Chelsea Manning was also a recipient of commutation, and I think it will speak well of Obama, who I think cared deeply about criminal justice reform, but was not able to execute on that.
Let's take another call here. We've got Alice joining us in Maple. Alice, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to share? Go ahead.
I just want to say that I think Obama was a top class act, him and his wife, and I think he will go down as one of the best presidents ever. And to be replaced by a bigot and a racist is just shameful for this country. I'm horrified, and I think it's a very, very, very dark day for many people.
Alice, thank you for your comment there. And you know, as we start to wrap up, we got a little bit of time, but is it too early to be having this conversation? Obviously, this is the day of Donald Trump's inauguration, and not a lot of time has passed here. When is it too early to start asking these questions?
I don't think it's ever too early. I mean, I think since his election in November, we have seen people asking these questions because I think people are really concerned that Donald Trump doesn't understand the job. He doesn't understand the enormity of the task. He doesn't understand the limitations of the position. He doesn't understand his constitutional responsibilities, his ethical responsibilities as president. He doesn't have the temperament for it. And I think a lot of people are concerned that his try and failure could really be catastrophic for many of us. And I think we're starting to see at least rumblings of that when we're talking about the repeal of the Affordable Care Act, when you're looking at about 20 million people losing health care coverage, and there's nothing to replace it with. I mean, I don't think these are times to not panic. This could kill people, and that's not an overstatement. So I think while this is his first day in office, from what we've seen throughout the election cycle and in the lead up to him assuming office, people have a right to be concerned.
Niambi, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Veronica.
That was Niambi Carter, assistant professor of political science at Howard University, and she joined us to talk about the legacy of Barack Obama.